Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osier continue their discussion on the Schmalkald Articles, looking at Part 3, Article 10, on ordination and vocation. They're looking at an Old Testament passage and its application to that article. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation is, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, welcome back. We are now into our Bible study episodes on Schmalkald Articles 3.10. And before we do that, we just got to give another shout out to have you, listener, go out to beinglutheran.com and sign up for the 2024 conference already, will you?
Do it. It's right here in Plymouth, Minnesota. I know several of our listeners are from a geographically acceptable range to attend our conference. Yeah. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to gather together with you.
In person, not live streamed, none of that.
Let's be honest.
Brett and Flame will be having a rap battle.
Yeah. Flame and Gretchen deserve to be heard. The three of us, not so much, but Flame and Gretchen are going to have something important to say.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
That's right. August 10th, 2024. So if you're listening to this in like 2027, sorry, you missed out.
For all you weirdos who went back and started with episode one.
A good time was had by all.
Yes.
Yes.
It was amazing. Sorry you missed out.
Right. Yeah. August 10th, 2024, Being Lutheran Conference and beinglutheran.com. You can register there. All right, let's jump into our Bible study episode today. We are talking on this Schmalkald article on ordination and vocation. And just thinking of Old Testament verses, we're trying to just do our best to cover all of the Bible throughout all of our episodes recorded. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if we're really generous, we're covering two chapters of Exodus that we never, ever would have touched before.
Yes,
so even though we're getting seven verses, six verses.
Yeah, there's a section in Exodus 28 and 29 where Aaron, Moses's brother, is ordained as a priest here. And maybe this sets a pattern for, and well, we can get into this discussion of the connection.
Don't do the setup until you read the verses.
All right, yeah, sorry. Sorry, that was very Minnesotan of me. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, when you said vocation, you sounded Minnesotan. And you're from Illinois. You're becoming one of us.
Yeah, every time I go back home to Illinois, they tease me home. for my Minnesota accent.
I'll just get you a Twins jersey, and you can break on through to the other side.
Draw the line here. All right. On with the reading of God's Word, Exodus 29, and we're going to read verses 42 through 46, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter too, but listen to this. It says, "It shall be a regular burnt offering," "throughout your generations, at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." Here ends the reading of Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, where do we start with this? I guess now I can do this whole setup for this. What is the connection between Aaron being consecrated as a priest, Aaron and his sons, and the office and role of the pastorate? Is there a connection? Is not? Let's go with that.
Well, it really comes down to the amount of animals we're required to slaughter as pastors.
Is that like the meat cookout?
Yeah. It's the men's ministry wild game feed. No, it's the connecting tissue between these two things is the doctrine of vocation.
Okay.
Is that the priest served a purpose and the pastor serves a purpose in the congregation. And it's an important purpose, and it's one that is sacred. And the previous two chapters and like a lot of verses, like a lot of verses in chapter 28 and 29 go into great detail about the consecration of the priests, the specific garments they're supposed to wear, mm-hmm. how they're supposed to behave, what they're supposed to do, and why it's all holy.
Mm-hmm.
And
holiness is a big theme in this.
There's going to be a slight disconnect, but it's not nearly as big as we might think it is, because in the Old Testament, the priests were the mediators of the covenant. That has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And so the pastor isn't quite a one-to-one equivalent with the priest,
right.
but there is
Which
still...
Which is why we don't get to wear an ephod with cool jewels on it.
Yeah, with the holy Roman dice.
Or be called my chiropractor, every time I go there, he calls me Father Bo.
And, oh.
Yeah, he's got a Catholic background, but...
Yeah, my mechanic, who also is a Catholic, calls me Padre.
Yes.
I drop my car off. He's like, "How's the soul saving business, Padre?" I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I used to wear a clerical collar everywhere I went.
Yeah.
And I got called Father all the time by people far too old for me to be their father. Yeah.
And what's really interesting is you did that in England and they expected you to solve mysteries. It's like, whoa.
Yes.
Oh, man. There you are, Jason.
Yeah.
I'm back, baby.
He's back. The hip is better.
No, it's not. Well,
we're 2 hours in from last week, so yeah. It's like...
Who has a better hip, you or Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson. Bo knows hips.
Oh, yes.
Oh, going back to the ordination of Aaron, consecration of Aaron, what's interesting to me here is the selectivity of God. That part of the tie-in, there's some differences. Like you were mentioning before, the covenant. Did you want to go further on that, Jason?
No,
by the way?
Just run with it.
Mentioning it was the old covenant, and they were mediators of the old covenant. I think that there is some tie-in in the sense that vocation of any kind is, by definition, a calling of God. He is the one calling that role into existence. It's certainly true of everything, but I think we can make a closer comparison between the priests and the pastors in the New Testament. And I think, too, that there's something in this passage when God says it will be Aaron and his sons. It became a hereditary thing, which pastoral ministry is not.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and well... Yeah, I think my son would probably be a better pastor than I am, but it would be one of those things where you have the selectivity of God. God said, "This is who I'm choosing," and there is a tie-in. This is maybe a side note, but I think it's important to note. Brent Olson ties us in his classes. He's one of the Old Testament professors at our college and seminary. He talks about how God is selective in his pastoral ministry, which is why, for instance, in our church body, we don't ordain women, because we think that the scriptures are teaching that role is selected
by God. And I'm going to stop you there. Sorry. It's more than we think, though. We think there's biblical evidence. It's not just a matter of opinion.
What did I say,
Because
Jason?
We think.
You are one of the most particular, whiny people I've ever met. I think, and I'm right. I think because the word says, what was the one thing we said one time? Oh yeah. You will not obey or have anything to do with wind chill because you refuse to observe any scientific measurement that begins with the words feels like.
Yeah. Feelings have no place in scientific measurements.
Yeah. So you are just awful.
I am.
But
sorry.
The word talks about the office of pastor. And I think it's true because it is.
Because you've imposed your own personal opinion on the word. No, I'm kidding.
All right, Jason, I will never ordain a woman. I won't. But you get my point. But the selectivity of God. The selectivity of God is the point of that.
Yeah.
And that he has done that in the New Testament as well. And therefore, we have to understand that the pastoral office comes with certain certain expectations and parameters. And that's seen in this passage as well. I think that tie-in is a fair tie-in from the old to the new.
And I think that's a great insight. I think what I want to do with that and where we see the selectivity explained best with what the Levites and especially the Aaron and his sons is the concept of holiness. And I think that selectivity is drawn out best. And I think probably where your best parallel between what pastors do and what the priests do is this concept of holiness, is that we serve a holy Lord. Now, the holiness
Is it more the set aside for God's purpose?
Yeah, well,
it's
set apart, right?
Set apart, yeah.
That's what holiness means.
Yeah, instead of you think of like a holy, like good behavior.
Yeah, there can be a moral quality to holiness, but even the moral quality.
That's what's being emphasized, right?
The moral quality of holiness also is just a matter of being set apart because you are being set apart from the immorality of sinful human society, right? Mm-hmm. But with holiness, you see like the priestly ephod and, you know, the jewels and everything was done with a ceremonial value. And you can go back, Brett, you should look up on our wiki when we did our episodes on Nadab and Abihu. Hmm. And we talked about their problem is they trifled with the holiness of God by putting their own desires ahead of what God commanded his holiness be addressed with in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Are you looking this up, Brett?
I am,
Brett,
yeah.
Keep talking.
What was the text again?
It's Leviticus, I think.
Oh. Yeah, I can't remember the reference, but you know, Aaron's two sons who are consumed by fire because of an unauthorized sacrifice that they had offered, and I think it had to do, and I'm winging this now, honestly, I haven't read that text in a while, but they were drunk, weren't they? Or they had been drinking or something like that? Was that not that?
I think they just went in and did it.
Because, yeah, and I don't remember what it was or whatnot, but it basically the fallout was God saying, you absolutely need to follow, Aaron. You need to follow what I said, because the parameters that I've laid out for you matter. They represent me. These things I'm asking you to do, the sacrifices I'm asking you to offer, they all point to me. And you can't trifle with these things, like you use that word, I think, Jason.
Yeah, and that's where then God gets after Moses, and Moses has to walk up to Aaron and says, "You done screwed up, Aaron." After that, I've been waiting
that
all
was,
episode.
That was the whole purpose for this episode.
Yeah, it was. No, but the question then is, how does all this tie into pastoral ministry?
Yeah.
Is because you have a people to serve with the gifts of God in specific ways. And if that is abused, the holiness of God gets obscured, and it means the gospel can't be applied. And if we make the gospel common and rudimentary, there is nothing good about it. Mm-hmm. And that's where pastoral training comes in. Because, you know, we talked about the threefold job description last week. It's preach the word, administer the sacraments, and shepherd the sheep. Yep. Shepherding the sheep is primarily done by preaching the word and administering the sacraments. And if the word is trifled with, or if the sacraments are trifled with, you lose the sense of the holiness of what Jesus Christ has done for us in the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is not a rant about high church versus low church. This isn't a rant about reverence. It's a rant about the whole concern Luther has in Article 10 here of the Small Card Articles, a part 3 of the Small Card Articles, is that the gospel is being obscured by the arrogance and let me find the line. Pretense, humbug, and unchristian ostentation of the priests, which means it's really the holiness of God is being obscured.
Right. Yeah, and it was our episode 223 on Leviticus 10, the description of that episode, we're talking about Nadab and Abihu. The Bible does not allow us to play it fast and loose with the presence of God or with his word.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Aaron's sons did, and what nobody should do that is in the pastoral office. To play fast and loose with the word.
And that's where you have actual damage. You know, I kind of rudely interrupted Adam and teased him about, like, we think we're not going to, you know, ordain women. But it's, you get into a Bible study of untrained people, and you actually have violence done to the word of God because we put our own personal preferences or tastes or perspectives over what the word of God is saying. Now, this is where theology comes in handy for us, because we talk about the clarity of scripture, or my favorite theological term of all time, the perspicuity of scripture. Leave it to theologians, leave it to Latin theologians to make the least clear word possible, the word we use for the clarity of scripture.
Yeah.
I just love that. But the clarity of scripture, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
But what we need to define with that is that scripture is clear in matters of salvation. But Scripture still needs to be interpreted. There is still a hermeneutical principle involved with, you know, interpreting and applying the Word of God to people. And that's where seminary training, you just can't walk in off the street, open up the Bible and say, well, I think this is what it means. And you're like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. You're going to harm someone's soul eventually by doing that. The office of the pastor then is we take care with the Word of God. We take care when we apply the sacraments so that they're done in a way that draws us to God in a tangible means rather than having it become that ethereal, over-experiential Christian sort of fluff. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, it keeps us focused on what God wants us to do. Keeps us from the experiential. He gives us very, very clear things. And all of those things lead to the forgiveness of sins.
Yep.
Like, that's what the purpose is.
And that's what we ought to do. Every time you read about the priests, and I know this because I make this joke all the time, that Exodus, Leviticus, most of Numbers, and large swaths of Deuteronomy are not entertaining reading. Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I'm doing a Bible study on that section right now.
Yeah, and if you can pick it apart, it gets really exciting.
Yeah,
but like when you're just like the inventory in the temple, you're like, oh yeah. And like the section that we're in Exodus 28:29, it like repeats itself verbatim, like in the 30s.
I was going to say, it's like, you know, it's like you need to build such and such a thing, such and such a size. And then a couple, you know, chapters later, it's, and they built such and such a thing at such and such a size. It's like, okay, so they did it. I mean, how much papyrus could have been saved by saying you're something like, as simple as, and so they did.
You're like, Moses, this meeting could have been an email. You look at the priest, every part of who the priest was, what the priest wore, and what the priest did pointed to Jesus. Hmm. Every single part of the tabernacle pointed to Jesus. And that's the purpose. That's why God lays out the detail. And we've talked multiple times, because this is one of my big deals. The garment imagery in the Old Testament is awesome.
So do I need to like wear socks with the Jesus logo on it?
And you gotta read one of those. You gotta wear one of those Jesus Reese's.
Witness Wear Wednesday. Every day.
Is that a thing? Well, Witness Wear Wednesday.
That's what my youth group had growing up.
Of course it did.
And that's how welcome to the 90s.
Yes, that's right.
I remember going to the Family Christian store and checking out the new T-shirts that were offered, or new posters, or whatever. The
Lord Explorer.
Some play on words.
Christ instead of crest.
Yeah. Man, there was a market for that back then.
There really was.
You
got
to bring that back.
No, we most certainly do not.
I was going somewhere with this, though, the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
This is where I was going with that, though. So everything is very clear. Like, God wants to make it very purposeful. All of his commands to the priests, to the pastors in the New Testament, all lead to the forgiveness of sins. And I think what, you know, we're not in that text, but we've been referencing the sons, right? Nadab and Abihu, who, you know, went against what God wanted, did their own thing. We see that all the time.
Yeah. Well, we see it in Exodus, too, because the sons of Korah and Dathan and Abiram did the same thing. They said before God, all of the congregation is holy, not just these punks over here, right? They do that, and they get swallowed up because God is angry. He's like, I have anointed these people for a purpose.
Yeah. So all of this is serving a purpose, and I think the danger that we see in our world today, maybe in pastoral ministry today, is this idea of kind of lording it over the sheep. And what that is, ends up doing, it really becomes about the pastor and not about the forgiveness of sins. And in our church body, I don't think we have such a high view of the pastor. We do have a high view of pastor, don't get me wrong, that people would want to do it for the notoriety, right? Maybe they do.
It would be certainly weird.
It would be a weird church body to join if you're looking to. Yeah, ours is very, you know, kind of a low church, you know, laity strong kind of church body. But the, you know, the pastoral ministry, you see it all over the place, you know, that these guys have, you know, they're becoming rich on the backs of people instead of offering the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, they're asking it to be, you know, paid for in some cases, you know, send me this amount of money and I will, you know, send you this blanket, which some, you know, devout woman prayed over and whatever, you know what I mean? And it's that idea. And we got to be careful about that because, again, it's taking it away from the vocation. What has God called you to do? What is his plan? What is your plan?
Well, and you start to see how the last article we talked about on excommunication fits hand in hand with what Luther's talking about this article on the ordination and vocation of bishops and pastors and priests. Because in excommunication, the purpose of the law is to serve the gospel, and it's all about reconciliation. We don't do excommunication without reconciliation in view. The same thing here. Everything the pastor does, everything the bishop does must be done with the gospel in view or you're failing. And that is the, like you identified, Adam, primary thing wrong with celebrity pastor culture is it leaves the gospel in the dust and it makes the ministry all about the man instead about the office.
Right. And that's what I love about the last few verses here in this text is that there's just a brief reference to the priest, but the rest of it is like all of that, God saying what he's going to do.
Yeah.
All of his promises, like, I will meet with the people. I will dwell among them. He reminds them of the great deliverance in the Old Testament. I brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. This whole idea of the priest here is surrounded by God's promises and God's presence.
Yeah, and not to sound too reformed when I say this, but the point of that is the covenant presence of God, where the promise has been realized and delivered so that God is present with his people. And of course, even that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, where God is present in his people, saving his people from their sins. But the decoration of the priests serves that purpose. And the role, the very finite and detailed instructions for how to do even the wave offering. I'm fascinated by the wave offering, you know, just like hopefully some priest just like waving a handful of meat around, you know.
Hopefully it's not like the wave at a ballpark.
And that's what I was thinking, like the congregation, all right, we're starting with a, come on, Jimmy, you know, you messed up. Let's do it again.
Not that at all, but it's all about God's redemptive presence. And again, that fulfilled by Christ, that is the mantle that pastors take up in the New Testament era, is that our job is to deliver the redemption that Jesus accomplished to the people for the forgiveness of sins, especially and specifically for the comfort of their conscience.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, any other closing words? Maybe that's a good spot to end.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Are you going to the Being Lutheran Conference in August? The Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary would like to invite you to come a few days early and attend the Summer Institute of Theology, which is on August 5th through the 9th. Learn from faculty and guest speakers, including Dr. Harold Sinkbile, author of Care of Souls. To register for housing, meals, or elective classes, go to flbc.edu/SIT. God bless you and have a great week.